Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Good morning, Gallery. I'll be your scripture reader today, and we'll be reading from the book of 1 John, from chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 11, and chapter 5, verse 21. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. This is the word of the God.
Lord, thanks, Sarah. I don't know about you guys, but usually about this time of year, I get... I don't know how to use the word homesick, nostalgic. I start thinking about older people in my family or older people in my life that I love to spend time with. So obviously my dad was one that I used to love even in the later years when he was doing dialysis three times a week and his activity for the day was transitioning from the sofa to a rocking chair on the front porch watching his grandchildren play in the front yard and me sitting next to my dad and listening to my dad share stories. I also had the same privilege with Ginger, my father-in-law. you know, we had moments where there would be time around the Thanksgiving table that would be a moment that he would steal the show, so to speak, and a story would come out. And next thing you know, we're all interacting with the story. Sometimes the story was something that we had told the previous Thanksgiving or the Thanksgiving prior or the Thanksgiving prior. That, like, there's certain things that some of our older people in our lives share with us joyously, redundantly, right? So there are moments where you hear the same thing over and over again, and it's not like an annoyance to you, but you actually, in many ways, long for it. There's a gentleman, when I first moved here to the city, was about 66 years old, and I put him in the category of that older mentor, because at the time I was only 35 years of age, and his name was Jim Davenport. And one of my favorite memories with him was when I jumped into his Mercedes, which he decided that was best for him to take the emblems off of his car. So he took the one right off the hood and the one right off the trunk because he didn't want people to know that it was a Mercedes. Nobody else finds it? All right, never mind. So, we were riding down the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, which, number one, unless you're with somebody you want to spend time with, is a terrible idea. Like, you never want to make a trip from Baltimore to D.C. on the Baltimore-Washington Parkway unless you're willing to commit the day. And so I remember one time we were in the car, and one of the roles that Jim was playing in my life at the time was as a mid-30-year-old pastor moving to the city as a white male in a predominantly African-American environment, Jim Davenport being an African-American business owner, being an African-American man that had come to know Jesus in his childhood and had 60 years of faithful time devoting his life to Christ and devoting himself to the church in Baltimore, he wanted to share with me all the stories that he thought would help me be effective in transitioning into the city. And on that trip, that one day to from Baltimore to D.C. to attend a religious outreach event conference, he and I were in the car talking about some of the things that he had been doing through a nonprofit that he helped start in the Butchers Hill area of Baltimore. And in the process of sharing that, there were moments in the story where he was telling me things that he had already told me in past meetings together. And then there would be new information that would come out in the car ride. And then when we got down to the area BWI where you don't know why all the exits are closed, but you know that you have to have a pass to get past those points. Like, all of these secure buildings, all of these trees blocking our line of sight, and traffic comes to a complete stop, and you're sitting there. He began to continue to unfold for me how this one particular older lady was sitting on the porch across from Commodore John Rogers Elementary Middle School and was praying for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But the thing that he was sharing with me about it was that she prayed faithfully on that porch for 40 years. So it wasn't where she decided to do 21 days of prayer and fasting so that something miraculous would happen. But yet she, every day, would find herself out on the porch, literally as the children were going to school, praying over them every single day for 40 years. And Jim turned to me in the car on that particular day, and he says, "Ellis, I honestly feel like you are a part of the answered prayer for her." You know, and so when you begin to allow yourself to grasp that you and I are not a part of a small story, you and I are part of something very big. We feel many times very small and insecure. Many times we don't even know how our life is going to line up with somebody else's life. But one of the things that we can have in our faith is we can lean into, at times, older members of our Christian family and lean into them. And that's why I chose this letter, 1 John, for us. If you are distracted from this point forward, I want you to all hear this one thing. I want you to read 1 John, all 5 chapters, every day between now and the start of Advent next Sunday. So you're going to have a lot of things that are happening, cooking, baking, seeing people, hopefully. Some of you are, this is a week that you are working nonstop because your shift off is at Christmas, so you're working. I don't care where we are. I don't care where you are in your faith. Some of you right now are experiencing great joy. Others of you are in great sorrow. Every single one of us needs to take the time to read 1 John redundantly over the next several days. So you should be able to get through this nearly 7 times. It will take you less than 15 minutes to read this. And you could probably do it in 10 minutes if you're not trying to think about it. You ever read something really fast and like, what did I just read? You can find yourself here in 1 John, finding yourself doing the same thing. But the thing that I love is that John feels like an older, wise pastor that you feel safe sitting at a table with or sitting on a porch with a warm beverage and just saying to me, tell me what it was like to be with Jesus again. You're going to feel like you're going to have a chance to sit down with somebody that is going to be able to say, I remember what it was like when I was your age. Does that not invigorate us? No. Generally, you're like, oh, I'm tired of hearing people say, I just want you to know, this is going to feel like a very warm blanket on a very cold day. You are going to need to feel the presence of this. And so with this, I just want you to understand, when you start talking about John, you're going to feel a little bit different in how he writes this versus his gospel. Now, for me, I love a great story. One of my favorite movies of all times is Remember the Titans. I love Denzel Washington as an actor. I would love for him to be my friend, okay? I think that would be fantastic. But the one thing I love about the Remember the Titans movie is everything goes in order. Like, you start with the segregation of the public schools and an African-American coach basically getting assigned to a predominantly white team, and school integration is happening. And so you find the tension of all of the backstory. So you get the A, which is the beginning, and then you start to see all of the things you would expect. All the tensions between people of different colors and the way that parents responded. And then there's occasionally something that surprises you. There's games that are lost and games that are won. There are triumphant stories. There's singing in the locker room. Like, there's all these things that just drive you to the very end. But the movie goes in a direction that in the very end, if you haven't seen the movie, it ends well. On the heels of tragedy, something turns into a miraculous victory where players that were struggling had moments of excitement. Like, it's just an epic story for somebody like me. Now, when you find yourself in a story like that, you like it when A goes to B and then B to C and then C to D and then E and so forth. Everything is just progressing. But the problem with John is that he goes to A, and then he'll go to A and B, and then he goes back to A, B, and C, and then he goes to A, B, C, and D, and then he goes A, B, C, D, E, and then in the middle of the book, he goes B, D, E, C, A, and then he'll jump back to A, and then he'll go to E, and then you're just sitting here saying, John, but you've said this. It's out of order, like you just went over this again, and then you're sitting there thinking, where is the reset button on your old friend? Like, you ever sat down with an older person that forgot where they were in the story, and they just started over again? Like, the thing that I love about John is his gospel is so powerful, and like nearly half of his recorded words were literally in the last week of Jesus's life, and so many of them were in and around the coming of the Holy Spirit and what was going to empower the people. But when you get to his letter, it feels like alphabet soup in regards to order. Like, he starts out like, I've been with God. He goes on to say, I've met the true God. I've met the one Jesus. I have an idea of what it looks like to live the life following Jesus in this coming new age that's coming upon us. And he talks to them about, this is how you live in a new age. And then he says, you receive love, so give love in the same way. And if you aren't giving that love and receiving that love, then there's something wrong with your faith, because you can't believe in the true God. You can't believe in the one Jesus if you're not loving. And then you're like, wait a minute, they're all starting to come. And he's literally just passionately telling the story of, this is where you are. When I was your age, this is how I dealt with the stuff that you're dealing with. This is what you're going to feel. And so I love moments in this letter that he's writing, because some of the moments feel like, man, he said exactly what I needed to hear. But then you find yourself daydreaming because he's saying it again. But then he mixes in something new, and if you're daydreaming, you miss the importance of the something new. And so let me go back just for a minute, because I want you guys to get a picture of what's happening here. Let me draw my infamous line across the top of the board. Can I get a wow? All right. So we have the beginning, like remember the Genesis story. How do you spell Genesis? Sorry, I was just looking at that like, okay, just got all messed up. So you have the generous story, you have the, let me just do this, start. All right, so you have the beginning, you have the start. So we're getting ready to have the Advent story, which is what? What happens at Advent? The long night is over. We've been waiting for him. He's come, right? So we have the birth story of Jesus, Jesus coming into the world. And we love little sweet little baby Jesus, to quote Talladega Nights, right? And so we have sweet baby Jesus. But then we have 3 years of his ministry, and then the cross, and then the ascension after the resurrection, actually the resurrection, and then the ascension, which we celebrate at Pentecost. And then we have the death of Jesus, the resurrection. We have the Easter story, right? So this is all happening here. This is all already taken place. And John is now writing in this gap. And one of the things that we've talked about all along is that in the death of Jesus, he started a new line. He starts a new line. And so this is the age to come. It's going to outlast this one, because this line, which is the old age, and many times referred to as the evil age, was defeated here. It lost. It ended at the death of Christ. But yet there's a lingering effect that we've always referred to as birth pains. So we have these birth pains that are happening, but one day this is going to come to an end and we're going to get to spend eternity without any of the effects of sin in our life, okay? So it's just a quick summation of all of this. So in John's letter, the way that he's writing in this phase. When you read it, you're going to be reading about him saying, I've lived longer than you, but I just want to remind you, I was with Jesus. I got to lay eyes on him. And because I laid eyes on him, I need to remind you of some stuff, because if you didn't hear Sarah, she ended the book with just a simple, my children, don't fall victim to idolatry. Like, do not allow yourself to create false gods. So how would he say all of this and then just randomly at the very end throw in a verse about idolatry? And the reason is because he had lived a life knowing that for you and I as followers in Jesus Christ, we are going to be tempted to not believe in God. We're going to be tempted. So what ends up happening here is you and I generally agree about the birth story of Jesus. We can sit around here. We're going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to talk about Mary and Joseph and Zechariah and Elizabeth. We're going to talk about the angels coming and singing and shepherds. And you and I are going to be like, man, I am in total agreement. We'll get to Easter And we're going to celebrate the way in which it was a good Friday because of the way Jesus died to forgive the sins of the world. We're going to wake up Easter Sunday. We're going to talk about the resurrection. And we're going to find, in many of us, we're not going to have very many places that we're going to disagree on the death, burial, and resurrection. And we get to the end of the Lord's Supper. We're going to announce that he died and that he's risen and he's coming again. And we're going to have great agreement in that. Where all of the disagreement comes is, what do we do until he comes back? All of the tension that we feel, the joys, the sorrows, the pains in which things are happening in our lives, the places where you get angry at God, aren't around these major moments. They're around the daily grind. They're around the moments where you and I think that we're okay and we are not putting on the armor of God. And next thing you know, things start happening and we start forgetting about the things that we know are true in life and in the world. And we start to allow ourselves to start changing the way we think about God. And so if God's character is changed and you start to believe something different about God, I believe what John is saying here, that is the idolatry. When you start thinking a different way about who God is, then you have stepped into idolatry. Now, mind you, the majority of the people that were listening to John in this letter were what they referred to as the Jews in and around Jerusalem. So this letter is not written to people that were agnostic and atheist and were lost Americans. These were Jewish people that were realizing that Jesus was the Messiah. So there was a group of people that were going around saying, this is true about Jesus. And there's other people going around saying, these facts are true about Jesus. And John is saying, only one of them is right. So how do you know which one to follow? And this is my point in wanting you guys to read this week. You are getting ready to look face to face with people that voted differently than you. You're getting ready to look face to face with people that have not forgiven you for things that you did when you were a child. Like, you're getting ready to look at people face to face that want to remember something negative in your life versus the positive change in the adult that you've become. The majority of you in here are much younger than I am. And so in the process of being younger than me, you are constantly around people like me that still treat you like a child. And that's all going to come rushing to you this week. And in the process of that, you are going to be overwhelmed if you're not ready. Because now is a time for you to know who you have believed in, so that you can stand strong in the midst of all of it. And the things that are not true just roll off of you. And the things that are true stay with you. And you're an adult enough to be able to stand in this. That's why when we were talking about the armor of God and the preparation of it, it is, majority of it is designed to help you think correctly. And what John is saying here throughout his entire letter, if we had time to have had Sarah read all of it, we would find in this particular letter that his biggest, most important caution is, are you listening to the people that are telling you the truth about Jesus Christ? And in our generation, church family, if I can have your full attention, I need you to hear this. There are too many people in this world right now that are not telling you the full truth about Jesus Christ. And so whether it's through podcasts, through your favorite Netflix shows, whether it's through the local news or national news or whatever, how are you determining the truth about Jesus Christ? And if you're doing it apart from people like John who were actually with him, let me just say, caution. How in the world are you going to know if somebody isn't twisting the meaning behind the death, burial, and resurrection in the life of Jesus Christ? I love in the middle of John's gospel, you'll find that he reminds them very importantly about the need for the Holy Spirit. He spent a good portion of John chapter 16 talking to them about the Holy Spirit coming. And let me tell you what he wrote in the John's gospel. His simple Ellis Prince summation is, when the Holy Spirit comes, it will be better for you than if Jesus was with you personally. Read John 16. John is reminding this early church, you crave looking at the Messiah eyeball to eyeball, but Jesus has done something better for us, which he's allowed the spirit that indwelt Christ to dwell in you. And church family, we are going to grow as a church when the remnant that is here with us starts to live like as if we're the temple of the living God. We're going to grow again when we are allowing the Holy Spirit to fully lead us and guide us and direct us, where we're that Holy Spirit is continuing to confirm in us who the true Jesus is, why the commandments. You're going to find that John here is talking about the fact, yes, Jesus came to fulfill the commandments. And much like Paul, he's like, now we get the commandments back as a way of identifying ourselves with him. So it's like, this is what we were looking to for our salvation, but we needed Jesus. And so now we go back to the commandments that God gave us as a way of saying, I am with Christ. So it's not so that, as Sarah was reading in chapter 2, oh, my sins are forgiven, so I really don't have to make any life changes. Paul says in Romans, God forbid that we keep on sinning just because we can. And so we are going to be challenged a lot in the next 5 or 6 weeks. You're going to be challenged in your family dynamic. You're going to be challenged in your spiritual dynamic. Some of you are even going through physical challenges right now that are going to make this coming week and the weeks to come a challenge for us. But we need to sit with a wise old pastor in John and say, you were with Jesus. What's your advice for me? And be patient with an old man. Be patient with one that sat through the power of the Holy Spirit and said that you cannot separate yourself from the fact that God loved you, so you must love other people. So as we begin to step into this week of Thanksgiving, I think it's really important for you and I to understand that John knew the true God. John met Jesus. John understood what Jesus said about what it looks like to live a life until Jesus returned. It wasn't a life of let me escape and pretend like eternity started. Let me roll up my sleeves and work until Jesus comes back. He talked about the way that God loved us and how we are to pass on that love. And so guys, we're living in this moment. There are people in our life that are still on the old path. They don't know yet that there is an age to come that they can join into, even though it exists. But you and I exist as an intersection for the old and the new. This is what John is saying. You are still in the old, but you are also coexisting in the new that God is ushering into the world. And so when you sit down at a table this week, whether for a Friendsgiving or with real with your family or adopted families or whatever it is that you're going to do, or if it's just you and one other person, you are a place empowered by the Holy Spirit to give people a glimpse of what is to come. And it is present now in us. And so let me encourage us as a church family. Let's not get distracted by college football. Let's not get distracted by really bad NFL games on Thursday. Let's not get distracted by the relative that makes it difficult to gather. Let's allow ourselves to serve as an intersection between heaven and earth. Let's allow ourselves to be a place where everyone around us for the day or the 2 or 3 days that we have, that would be a place where people can taste and see that what Jesus promised is true. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we get ready for this Thanksgiving week, Father, as we are preparing for Advent, this long-awaited wait for Christ, Father, as we are preparing ourselves, Lord, for challenges that come up in these next month and a half, Father, I pray that we would stay rooted, rooted in love, rooted in our hope, rooted in our faith, Father, that we would embrace the gift of your Spirit. And Father, for those of us that are in a place of just weight and grief and sorrows, Lord, of many kinds, Father, I am grateful that there were men and women that we can turn to in the Bible that set examples for us of what it looks like for us to lean into you until the day of your return. So, Father, we do not understand everything, but the one thing that we do understand is that our eyes need to continually be fixed on Jesus. We have no hope of understanding unless your Spirit is teaching us the ways of Christ. And so, Father, we do not want to quench your Spirit at all in this coming week. And we just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.